ASAR Training and Response Podcast. This is episode 27, where we recap 2023 and talk about what's in store for 2024.
Happy New Year and welcome to 2024 with the ASAR Training and Response Podcast team. With me this morning is co-host Carla Lewis. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Eric, and Happy New Year to all of our listeners and ASAR friends and family. We're really excited about talking about our recap today. We're going to talk a little bit about what happened in 2023, and we're going to look forward to what we have in store for 2024 and give you some information about some of our classes and things we have going on.
You know, looking back at 2023, everything happens so fast over time. And we're constantly on the move and pivoting into new things. We often forget about all the accomplishments we've done as a team and with our partners. So I'm excited to take a look back at this year because it seems like it's flown by.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing all the things you accomplish, and you're just like, where did all that time go? I think, you know, first of all, the biggest thing we have to talk about is the partnership that we have with the Bissell Pet Foundation and the formation of AIM. Eric, why don't you talk a little bit about how that came to be?
Yeah, that was an amazing and is an amazing resource now. In February of 2023, ASAR teamed up with Bissell Pet Foundation and formed the Animal Incident Management Group, or AIM. And the whole goal of AIM is to bring mission-ready package resources all together under one umbrella so we can help partners in any phase of a disaster, whether we're training during the planning time, whether we're doing workshops, or whether there's, you know, an imminent disaster coming where we know there's a hurricane coming and we need to do transports and sheltering. And then, of course, the response phase, we've got the ASAR teams on the ground, plus we've got AIM teams in the shelters, and we've got mass care partnerships with American Red Cross to help on the human sheltering. And then, of course, during our recovery phases, we've got the home-to-home disaster foster care platform, where we can set up an online platform where people can temporarily foster their animals someplace else where they get back on their feet and they don't have to go into an emergency animal shelter. So AIM is just a robust resource that has, you know, grown on its own this year and really plays towards our national mission and our national goals. And along with AIM that fits at that national level, ASAR is still a NARST member. And here we go in acronym land for the first of the year. NARST is the National Animal Rescue and Sheltering Coalition, and it's got a lot of the non-governmental organizations like ASPCA, American Humane, ASAR, Red Rover, among there's, I think there's 14 of us as part of NARST. And so it gives us a bridge to help set guidelines, help state partners, help federal partners from the non-governmental organization standpoint. And then ASAR is also part of NACEP. I'm currently president of NACEP. And when you think of NACEP, think NASA AEP for the acronym. It's a long one. Going to have to take a big breath for this one. It is the National Alliance of State Animal and Agricultural Emergency Programs. And what NACEP brings, and it was actually born in that time after Katrina where NARSC was born for non-governmental organizations. NACEP was born to help governmental organizations get together, build resources, brainstorm on disasters and how we work with animal issues. So NACEP includes state partners, Department of Ags, military, veterinarians, federal partners, anybody that's got any type of program, whether it be food security, or whether it be biosecurity, or whether it be disaster, anything that has to do with animal emergency programs can fall underneath NACEP. And so ASAR is part of that. We were a sponsor at the 2022 summit. We will be a sponsor again for the 2024 summit. Folks, if you go to one conference a year or every other year, put the NACEP summit on your list to do. It is an amazing collaboration of people that come together, and you get more done by handshaking and sitting around and meeting the people from the different disciplines. It's going to be December 3rd through the 5th up in the Baltimore area in 2024. But I just can't say enough about how much partnership and communication and brainstorming comes out of that particular summit. And ASAR is proud to be a sponsor for that. Also with NACEP, NACEP teams up with USDA on a regular basis, and we update best practice work group white papers. I am excited to announce that the NACEP website is being redone in the next few months. So hopefully here in March and April, NACEP website will be up and running with a brand new fresh coat of paint on it and new layouts, and the best practice work group papers will be up for people to access and use those as you start to build out your disaster plans, because you don't have to reinvent the wheel. But we're also proud to be part of that best practice work group where subject matter experts from the ASAR team can participate and help, relay our experiences and what we have learned over the years in our response, and share that with other subject matter experts across the globe as we bring in some international folks, and really help provide situational awareness as we go forward. So, you think about all the different levels, Carla, that we play at. That's the national scope. But then the other piece of this, well, so many pieces, we've got a training branch and everything that we've done for our training in 2023.
Yeah, absolutely. And, and just a little shout out to those best practice work group papers. They're really fantastic. And if you're overwhelmed by planning for disasters for your community, those ACOs out there and state animal response teams, people like that, they're really easy to read. They're not over scope for you as you get into those. So I really highly recommend you take a look at those papers, and it's really going to help you as you do your planning. And, I've just been really impressed with 2023 from a planning perspective. I know the pandemic kind of put a hold on things, and I know a lot of us were really frustrated at, the block and forward momentum that we're having. And now it just seems like things are full speed ahead for all of these cities and states. And as they get their planning back into to focus, animals, I'm hearing it over and over again that we need disaster planning from animals, from the organizations that we're involved with. And I think 2024 is just going to really build on that. So I'm really excited about those things. And like Eric said, ASAR, one of the big things we do is our technical animal rescue training. And 2023 was a good year for that. We started out with Escambia County in Florida with a really unique training where we brought in multiple disciplines, and we worked with the human side, the search and rescue teams down there, and the animal side. Eric, maybe you could talk a little bit about all of the organization and that we did for them.
Yeah, the Escambia training really is a testament to the evolution of mission-ready packaging. And when we talk about mission-ready packaging, it is the term that we use in emergency management to package human rescue resources with animal rescue resources, along with any type of logistic support with that. And we really, we've seen an interest in it. We've seen a small push towards adding animal rescue or ASAR subject matter experts to the urban search and rescue training package. But Escambia County really has gone all in. They actually brought, a large amount of their first responders to get their animal competencies. And then we had almost the entire Escambia Animal Services team out there to get their human rescue training. And it was great to see this large group of first responders from different disciplines come together and go through this 4-day training and share their skills, get to know each other. And when they actually get out during a disaster now, they know exactly who they're dealing with, what the skills are, and what they can do together to go out and evacuate people and animals together. And, that's the way it's written in the FEMA resource typing. That's the way it's supposed to work. So again, having an agency say, we're going to finally do this, they really are groundbreaking with that.
It's very easy to say, oh, they're animal people and they're human rescue. But what we find when we're actually in a disaster is it all, meshes together, and people have pets, and the human search and rescue teams are out there and the animal rescue teams are out there. And if they can work together, it just makes a really great cohesive team that can affect the best rescues and the best outcomes for everybody. So we really had a great time with that team and are looking forward to, further training and helping them out as they progress in their training.
It's always funny as we start off a year, and of course, we'll talk about our training classes, but typically to get your calendar dates, you need to schedule with us about 6 months out. So we start to see every year, it seems like one training over another gets really popular. So 1 year we're doing nothing but water training. And then 1 year we're doing nothing but large animal rescue operations training. And, we had small spatterings of the large animal rescue operations and the water. But really what flourished over the last year was the exotics or the zoo training.
No, it was really an exciting year for me. I think anyone who's listened to this podcast or met me knows, how big of a passion that I have for exotic animals. I was a former zookeeper, and I was so excited to really see how the technical rescue techniques are being transferred to exotic animals, and specifically what we call megavertebrates, which is our big animals, right? Elephants, rhinoceroses, giraffe, and moving them. And what we're finding is, these animals are aging, their populations are aging, and the zoos are doing everything they can to extend their lives and make sure that they are giving them every opportunity to live a long, full life. And just like horses, as they age, sometimes they fall down and just maybe need a little bit of help getting up. And, horses weigh around, up 1,200 up to maybe 2,000 pounds. But we have an elephant that weighs 10,000 pounds. So we've had a lot of fun in our team, doing the math and figuring out the equipment and learning. We've learned so much this year about how we can possibly pick up an elephant, a giraffe, a rhinoceros. I think definitely the highlight of my year was a zoo that asked us to come out and assist them during some immobilizations of rhinoceroses that weighed around 5,000 pounds. And so what we did was we helped them position them properly during surgery using mechanical advantage. The ASAR team went out to we went out to seven different zoological facilities this year, taught well over 100 students, and just we, like I said, it was really just a mashing of the brains because, ASAR, we're not experts in elephants and giraffe, and that's why we have our subject matter experts like Dr. Lisa Dodoni and Mike McClure. We bring all of these people in so that we can learn and just keep learning, and we're buying equipment, which is always fun for me, and really stretching all of our equipment and knowledge to the limits as we try to work through these possible scenarios of helping these animals.
Yeah, it really has been, as and again, I've been doing technical rigging for almost 20 years, and the applications that we have to pivot and adjust when it comes to lifting heavy weights in confined space areas, and we continue to think outside the box and try to do some testing ahead of time because, there's not a lot of heavyweight gear out there without getting into commercial. Lifting and rigging, which isn't going to work, most times. We're going to get into that. We're going to call a crane company. So we're working with NFPA rated products, and we're finding ways to, build systems on top of systems or use different systems in concert with each other. But every once in a while, we'll rig and we'll like, why isn't this working? We have friction somewhere or we broke that, and we learn that there is necessity for redundancy and that, we're not trying to move an object with one rope. We're using many systems and many methods, to start to give these animals an opportunity to help themselves up. So, we will never say we've got the silver bullet or the absolute answer for every rescue situation, but every rescue situation we learn and we adapt. And yes, Carla wants to buy a new toy after every rescue situation.
I'm like, I think we need this. No, and I just want to give a huge shout out to all those zoo facilities and zookeepers that we worked with this year. This is introducing some really new and different concepts for them. The zoos have been around for a very long time, and we all get into those tendencies of this is how we've always done it. This is how we're going to keep doing it. And just be huge props to those zoos who are forward thinking and are looking for solutions that are a little bit outside the box and a little bit outside their comfort zone. I've been really impressed working with all of them and look forward to the classes that we have already on the books for 2024.
Yeah, training is such a big part of ASAR, and of course that's what ASAR was built to do initially. And then again, we get asked to offer another service or build out another branch, and but our roots are in training and deployment, and we're always trying to balance, how much training we can put in during our busy months. And if you guys watch the schedule, you'll typically see things get pretty heavy in the spring. We don't do that much during the summer because people are on vacation. They have staffing shortages. So you'll see a lot of specific agency trainings where an agency has a large number of people that they want to do during the summer. And then you're going to see a gap during the fall because we don't schedule real heavy during possible hurricane deployment season, because we've been bit before where we get scheduling classes and then we have a deployment and we either need to cut, people loose to go train, or we've got to cancel or postpone altogether a training because we're all dedicated out in the field. So, it kind of ebbs and flows why we try to balance deployments. And it's so hard, of course, when we see the ever-changing climate to forecast things, as we sit around. And both Carla and I are weather geeks, and so we're watching the hurricane forecasts every year. And we're the people that click on the link and we read the notes and the conversations behind the scenes to try to get some sort of idea of what we should be planning to do during our travels so we can balance out our teams. Here comes an El Nino year in 2023. It's got a lot of potential for hurricane energy, the warmest waters we've seen out in the Atlantic for a long time. And the biggest factor was, what's the jet stream going to do? And is there constantly going to be dry air and shear cutting those off? And of course, the answer from the hurricane centers were, we don't know. We're going to give you a 12 to 14 named storms. Three to four of those would be majors. I mean, it was a pretty standard forecast for 2023. So we watched as these storms popped up and they got rotated out, which again, we're not wishing for bad things to happen. So we were glad to see those storms go on. And then, while we're focusing on hurricanes, here comes wildland fire season. And again, we will try to watch California, and lo and behold, it pops up. We have more island issues in 2023. We had hurricane hit Guam. And had to work with national partners on how we can support Guam. And then, of course, we're always trying to watch Puerto Rico, since Puerto Rico's down in Hurricane Alley. And then the fire popped up in Maui, and that was a surprise for us.
Like Eric said, we're always watching those storms. My family jokingly calls me meteorologist Carla. They'll call me all the time, or we're on vacation. They're like, "What's the weather going to do?" Because I've always got some sort of app up, and we're always watching those storms. And they all headed out north. And which, like Eric said, we're never wishing bad things on people, and we're happy we can help. And this is a great year for planning and preparing. And yeah, we watched that Maui storm pop up, and I think both and I, Eric and I, both kind of talked back and forth and like, "Wow, did you see that?" And yeah, and then things rapidly increased to all of the animal issues that were coming up. And then AIM was engaged, and Eric was sent to Maui to help the community there. And Eric, maybe you could tell us just a little bit, a brief overview of your time and continued efforts to help Maui as they recover.
Yeah, Maui, the fire really did, it was fast, it was devastating, and the loss of life and the loss of culture continues to be an impact, and will for a long time. And my role played out as ASAR holds the MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding, with the Big Island of Hawaii. And the Big Island reached out to Maui, and Maui had contacted us previously about some training, but we weren't able to work that out in 2022 and 2023. But Big Island said, hey, we're working with ASAR. If you need subject matter experts, you're welcome to, we're welcome to make the introduction. And so Maui reached back and they said, yeah, we could use a disaster subject matter expert. And they connected with me and I, said, here's what AIM can bring you. Here's what ASAR can bring you. And they said, we would like you to come to the island and be our disaster resource liaison for both governmental and non-governmental resources. So I deployed out for the first 2 weeks, and my goal was simply to build out the animal branch and bring it compliant with the National Incident Management System, guidelines and get it plugged into emergency management. But the interesting part about Maui was the loss of life, of course, was taking priority as it should. And we were being respectful of that. So our animal teams were working the perimeter of the burn area until they were allowed in. And that first line of life safety and recovery took about, 2 weeks. And then once that started to get more organized and, they got a better grasp on that, then they said, all right, we're going to let ASAR teams in. And I had actually rotated home for a few days, and Maui called back and said, all right, we can get in the field. Can ASAR come lead the fire teams in the burn area? So I went back for another week and we got started in the burn area. And you guys, have heard us before talk about wildland fires. It burns so hot and everybody says there's nothing left. And there's almost always something that survived. And where the initial reports coming out of the burn zone was there aren't any animals left alive in here. They all died. To date, I think Maui has pulled over 600 animals out of the burn area.
Wow.
A lot of cats, yeah. And first responders, we think about what's on top of the ground, and so many animals got underneath in the drainage areas to survive the fire. And of course, there's water down there from the sewer systems and the runoff systems that sustain them. And so we absolutely knew there were animals left in there, and had some remarkable reunification stories of animals that, of course, were running scared and went and hid, and people that had air tags on their cats that could see the air tags moving around on their phone and help pinpoint them. So it really was a cooperative effort from many resources that continue today with still trying to remove every animal that they can out of that burn area so they can start rebuilding in there and give these animals a new opportunity. So again, a lot of lessons learned, a lot of coordination pieces that fell into place, and a lot of challenges that we're going to take forward in lessons learned, so we can be better prepared to help in the future.
2024 is going to be a lot about planning and preparing. The first thing that ASAR has is the Kansas DECON functional coordination exercise. I was really excited when the state reached out to the state animal response team, which I'm on the board of, and they said, hey, we have some funding. We'd like to do this DECON exercise. And so I immediately, said, hey, I think ASAR is going to be really good for that because Eric was the co-chair for the best practice working group DECON paper. So Eric, why don't you talk a little bit about what a DECON exercise involves and how that's going to work?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. Again, the focuses that we pivot to, and as the we see war and terrorist acts happening all over the globe, of course, Homeland Security, the military, are very interested in how we deal with something like an improvised nuclear device or a terrorist attack on U.S. soil, where people and animals have to evacuate, and what does it take to actually decontaminate radiation off of an animal. And it really has changed over the years. Again, we continue to learn and evolve the research, and there are so many subject matter experts out there that have devoted time to decontamination for animals. And we got those experts together on this work group, and we got with the military on some of their exercises. The Northern Command group out of Colorado, which Northern Command is a unified military group, actually took focus for 2023, and it's actually late 2022. They did an exercise in Atlanta called Vista Forge, where they were testing in a practical exercise how you bring animals and people together through designated decontamination stations. They even brought in a horse to see if a horse would fit two different ways and how we deal with our large animal family friends. And then in 2023, they took it one step farther and they just did an exercise out in Colorado a few months ago that addressed access and functional need people and their animals. So we've got people that may have sight or hearing impairments, may have mobility challenges. We've got, specialized ADA dogs that are providing services that need to stay with their owners. And it's basically, okay, how do we take these challenges and get them through these radiological decon pods that are set up by the military? And again, there's nothing like getting an actual person with their actual animal and putting them through the paces to see exactly the little details that we need to address and miss. So we continue now with all those lessons learned to hear from our state partners and from state nuclear commissions that say we need to revisit our animal plans because the template's probably been there for 10 years and they haven't exercised it. They haven't updated their information and they don't have the lessons learned from the last 4 years of advancements that we've done. And so again, that'll be some of that will be in the best practice work group documents, but a lot of it is going out and doing these workshops with the state partners and with these radiological commissions to say, okay, it's not just thinking about the people within 50 miles of a power plant that may melt down. We have to think about somebody setting off an improvised nuclear device in the middle of Dallas or New York or Chicago. And what are we going to do to help all those people and animals? And so yeah, the decon piece for ASAR will continue to ramp up, and I think this one's going to be pretty prominent for the next year or two.
Yeah, it's always great to see states getting together and really thinking about all of those things, especially with the animal issues. So as we go into 2024, like I said, we're starting out with that Kansas decon, and then we kind of rolled right into several classes. I know I have several of my exotic animal technical rescue classes at several zoos across the country. Now, those classes are only open to those of you who are working in a zoological facility. So we don't really post a lot about them. Some of them are completely closed just for those organizations. Some of them are available to those of you in the zoo field. So definitely check out our events page on our website to make sure you are up to date on what training might be out there, or definitely you feel free to contact any of us through the ASAR website, and we are happy to tell you about classes that are happening. So I am definitely looking forward to those classes and furthering our knowledge with the exotic branch. What else do we have out there, Eric?
Yeah, I'm trying to set the conference schedule for 2024. The conferences will focus more on operational coordination this year. Last year when I did the conference circuit, I was doing a lot about planning for different agencies. This year it's going to be about operational coordination, how you take those plans and actually work with partners. So, you're going to see that at a variety of conferences coming in, and we're also going to see a ramping up. ASAR started an international branch about 2 years ago as we started working with the Kenya Wildlife Service and other partners across the globe. And here recently, we're really starting conversations with subject matter experts in the UK and may actually be over in Scotland for the BARDA, which is the British Animal Rescue and Trauma Association. Conference at the Glasgow Veterinary College. But even if I can't make that particular conference, we will continue our work with both Australia and United Kingdom first responders as we develop more floodwater rescue techniques and guidelines for both small and large animals. So that international branch, again, dealing with the exotics. And now with companion animals and floodwater is really starting to expand.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I know I have my passport ready to go, and I'm just waiting for one of these international opportunities to present itself. We're doing quite a bit of work with elephants and some of our megaverts in other countries as well. So we have a lot of things in the works and plans that we're hoping that will really help some conservation efforts that are out there. And I know we also have our one of our most popular and favorite classes in the spring, one of our Swiftwater combo classes. Looks like that is April 16th through 19th. It's not on the website yet because we're still trying to finalize a little bit of the details, but definitely save the date and keep an eye out on our Facebook pages and our website so that when that comes available, we will have that. That's definitely one of our most popular classes, and that'll be in the Kansas City area.
Yeah, that one's definitely going to go. Once we just hammer down and make sure we've got our venue set up, we've already got enough people to meet minimums requirements for that one, so we know it's going to go. So if you do need your, if you want to knock out two birds with one stone and do your boating certificate and do your Swiftwater certificate with us, you can get those done in 4 days. But that one we already know will fill. So when it's posted, you definitely want to get in because that's the class we had to postpone from fall because of the Maui deployment. We actually sent that one to the spring and moved a lot of students over. So we thank them for their patience as we had to move that one. And then, speaking of Maui, we are going to continue working with Maui during the recovery and rebuilding phases. So you'll see an opportunity. If you're part of our island partners, or if you want to go from the lower 48, is that we will have some basic operations over on Maui, probably later in the spring this year. That if you're interested in training over on the island, or if you had no island resources, that those will be open. And also new for, well, and Carrie's been working on this, but Carrie Downs. And Carla, you both are first aid CPR instructors. So we're really ramping up the first aid CPR AED training through ASAR. And again, we wanted to put emphasis on that because it is a prerequisite. It is a requirement for ASAR operations and awareness level that people have this first aid training. So we offer everything from basic first aid all the way up to wilderness first aid, the 16-hour, and that one is actually a ASAR technician level class. But again, as you start to build out packages, say, okay, we want to bring in ASAR, we want to do our first aid, we want to do our large animal rescue, which includes your ropes and rigging, and get a dry land training done for your agency or for your region, and then schedule, your water training for a later date. You can package, we can customize the different disciplines to what your agency wants to do.
If you guys have not been on our website to see our list of classes, I highly recommend you go there. There's a lot of information about each of those classes. And then, maybe we could just talk a little bit about what it takes to host an ASAR class. I know a lot of people would love to come. We get inquiries all the time about when are you hosting? When do you have this class or do you have this class? And really, the best thing is for you as an organization or a facility to host a class. And it really doesn't take much. We have some minimum standards, depending on how far away you are and our travel cost. As we know, everything, has gotten more expensive and we have to cover our travel costs. But in order to host a class, and generally you need a classroom that'll seat as many people as we need for the class. Most of our classes have a minimum of about 20 people, depending on, the discipline, and that's really all it takes. We love to host, we love to work with different organizations and customize these classes for you. One of the classes that I teach is our large animal rescue class. The thing I love about that class is it is 100% customizable. Just recently I talked to a fire department and we talked about the class, about the standard class, and he's like, "Well, my guys already have all of these prerequisites. And we wouldn't need those, or, maybe this is too basic for us." And I went back and I said, "No, we can customize this exactly for what the needs are for your organization." He's like, "Well, we don't have the Haas day frame and that's not in our budget." And I said, "We can work with what you guys have on your truck. We can put a class together and put those scenarios in place using your equipment and your skill level and put a class together for you." And I think many of our classes are that way where, we want to come to you and give you the skills that you guys need for your organization. Some of the other classes that we have that you might not be aware of, we actually do have a chemical capture class. This is a one-day course where we start at the beginning and go through what you need to develop a chemical capture program for your organization. We have some experts in firearms. We bring out the projectors, everything you need for the class. We have a veterinarian that does the drug dosages and gives you that information. So if your organization needs chemical capture, we can absolutely come out there and do that for you. Some of the other classes that are not as widely known are our confined space and structural collapse awareness class. Eric, maybe you could talk a little bit about how Greg Merrill teaches those.
Yeah, we're really excited to bring those. They continue to be in development. And when we set the National ASAR guideline training guidelines with the best practice work group team is confined space and collapsed structure hasn't been at the forefront of it, but we want to make sure people at least have hazardous awareness and basic concepts of how to work with that. And so when we developed our urban ASAR trainings for Detroit and Michigan Humane, it was a great time to test out the wide area search and introduce the animal people to the urban search and rescue, the human team rescue tracking software through Esri. And so they got to do you play in a sandbox environment where it was basically we set up a mock scenario and they went out and used this software and were able to track their teams and see how efficient it is. And then come back and hot wash with Greg. And then Greg also, teaches him a little bit about recognition of compromised structures. And of course, everybody's got a story about, well, I went down in a manhole cover after a kitten one day. And they just don't realize, what a low oxygen hazardous environment that can be. So bringing those classes and you guys can learn more about all of our instructors if you go to the website and look at the staff page. And we're bringing more instructors on all the time. We find those subject matter experts and we try to add them as our requests come in so we can be that one-stop shopping for people that want to build their ASAR teams out and build those resources. And that leans back to the AIM partnership. Bissell Pet Foundation has the Shelter Alliance. And so as we start to get more requests for shelter subject matter experts, we are definitely reaching over to the AIM side and the Bissell Pet Foundation Shelter Alliance and bringing those subject matter experts in. So now you can, request a animal sheltering class through ASAR, and we can package that in with our technical rescue skills.
It's really been fun to see everything expand and really encompass all aspects of animal care during a disaster. Well, I think as we wrap up today's podcast, we are really looking forward to 2024. We have a lot of really exciting classes on the calendar. Please reach out to us if your organization would like to host a class. We'd love to talk to you about what we can do for you. And thank you for joining us today. Eric, do you have any parting thoughts for 2024?
As we continue to build out our training schedule, we also continue to build out our podcast schedule. If you've got topics that you want to hear about or subject matter experts that, have a message to send out, we do try to focus on our partner agencies to make sure that we bring a lot of different information to our podcast followers. So, whether it be training, whether it be inquiries on emergency management or planning or workshops, or whether you have an idea for the podcast, you can always reach us at info@asartraining.com.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We look forward to 2024. Please check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and our website at asartraining.com. Have a great day and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody.